Please note that assistive listening devices for use in the council chambers are available upon request from staff. Please ensure that all cell phones are turned off or placed on silent. Are there any members of council who have a disclosure of pecuniary interest? Okay. The next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. I'll read out the title associated with the item on the agenda. Members of the Planning and Development Committee may ask that an item be held so that it can be further discussed. Please indicate your intention to hold an item by pressing your request to speak button. First person on the list will be given the opportunity to speak first to the item. If an item is not held, the motion is deemed to be approved on consent. No further discussion of the item will take place at this meeting tonight, and the recommendation will go forward to council for their consideration at the next meeting. So the Heritage Caledon recommendation regarding listing of 14684 Regional Road 50 on a Heritage Register. Approved on consent. Staff report 2017-19 regarding Mayfield West Phase 2, Stage 2 preparation for regional official plan amendment. Councillor Groves asked for it to be held. Staff report 2017-25 regarding proposed zoning bylaw amendment application, Caniff Properties Limited, Parts Lot 1 and 2, Concession 1, EHS Caledon Ward 1. Councillor Groves asked for it to be held. Heritage Caledon meeting report dated February 13, 2017. Approved on consent. Heritage Caledon recommendation regarding endorsing of Bill C 323. Approved on consent. Okay, we will now move into the public meeting portion of this evening's agenda. The public meeting this evening is with regards to the proposed zoning bylaw amendment 12130 Albion Vaughan Road, Part 1, Concession 7, Albion, east side of Regional Road 50, north of Mayfield Road in Ward 5. The purpose of this public meeting is to gather input from the public concerning the application. Any members of the public who have written concerns or appeals dealing with the application being heard should be directed to the Town of Caledon Clerk's office. Any interested persons wishing further notification during the regarding the application are advised to clearly print their name and address on the notification list located on the table at the entrance to the council chambers. Following the presentation, members of the public will be invited to approach the podium, clearly stating their name and address for the public record, and provide comments. If you have presentation material, please provide a copy of to the recording secretary at the desk to your left. Please note that any information submitted this evening will form part of the town's record. Following the public's comments, members of council will be invited to ask questions of the presenter regarding information contained within the presentation. Please note that council members are here to listen to comments from the public and are not here to provide an opinion or debate the matter. I will now ask Christina DiBonetto, the town's community planner, to confirm that notification was conducted in accordance with the Planning Act for the public meeting concerned.
Through you, Chair DeBoer, proper notice for the subject lands, municipally known as 12130 Albion Vaughan Road, has been provided to landowners within 120 meters of the subject lands, signage posted on the subject lands, newspaper notices, and posting on the town's website.
Thank you, Ms. DiBonetto. I will now call on Mr. Dan Krzyzewski. Did I get that? Of Corbin Land Strategies to begin the presentation.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. My name is John Corbett, the president of Corbin Land Strategies, and Dan is with me to participate in the presentation as well. Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of committee. I'm pleased to be here tonight to present the proposed development suggested by Access Property Development at the subject property located at Albion Vaughan Road and Highway 50. My presentation will be brief, and it will consist of an overview of the site characteristics and the development potential afforded by this proposal. I'll get into some details around the proposal specifics. I'll look at the site plan in some detail. We'll look at the approval requirements as prescribed by the Town of Caledon, an overall planning assessment showing the land use merits of the proposal, and finally, a review of the supporting studies. So in terms of the development overview component, Access Property Development has submitted the proposed zoning bylaw amendment application and a corresponding site plan application to permit a self-storage facility in the Bulletin community. The development is comprised of many components, but principally a four-story building with a basement, and it is subject to a proposal to sever the lands ultimately to the south, which currently contain the Bulletin Toyota car dealership and existing car wash. The municipal address is part lot of 1, concession 7 in Albion, and part lots 29 and 30, concession 11 and Vaughan. The subject lands have a land area of 1.57 acres and has frontage on both Highway 50 and Albion Road. The site is currently vacant after the heritage home that presided on the property has been relocated. There is some limited vegetation on the site currently and will be dealt with through the application process. The location mapped area is shown outlined in red. Again, at the north side of the property, south of it is the car wash and the car dealership and the surrounding industrial commercial development along Highway 50 and Albion Vaughan Road. In terms of the details of the proposal, this is a four-story building with a full basement. It will have a gross floor area of almost 120,000 square feet, which will include an accessory office and basement. The building coverage will approximate 34% of the site area, and the building height in terms of vertical dimension will be 14.5 meters or 47.6 feet. I'll pause for a minute to explain a little bit about the storage facility, which you can see is a very strong growth element in most municipalities across the country at this present time because it is a demand of community use because residents often find they need to storage things outside their garage in their basement in a remote location. As such, they have a very minimal intrusion on the surrounding community. There are low traffic generators, low noise generators as well. And they can fit nicely into a community and provide the service that is intended. 18 parking spaces are provided, and that was demonstrated to be suitable in accordance with a traffic impact study. And there will be two points of access, one from Highway 50 and Albion Road. Again, very low turning movements from both sides of the site for to and from those two roads because of the low traffic generation potential. Mindful of the location, generous landscaping is provided along Highway 50 and along Albion Vaughan Road with a 9-meter and 6-meter buffer strip, respectively. We're looking very closely and working with the neighbors to the north. An application has not been submitted yet, but we understand one will be imminently for residential development, so we're looking very carefully at the interface with those properties in terms of establishing an appropriate acoustic fence and vegetation to protect that property's future land use potential. Sorry, going backwards. Not working. Details. There we go. The site plan is shown on this slide. As you can see, the building interfaces to the north of the existing car wash, with the two access points from Albion Vaughan Road, with the parking located adjacent to the Highway 50 entrance and the loading bays off Albion Vaughan Road. You can see the interface along the north property boundary and the shared accesses with the current activities on the site. In terms of what's required to implement this proposal, we note that the subject property is currently designated as a commercial area in the Bulletin Land Use Plan and the Town of Caledon Official Plan. They are currently zoned Rural Residential RR in the Comprehensive Zoning Bylaw, and that will require a site-specific amendment to a special exception for the Highway Commercial Zone for this location. The proposal is also, of course, subject to full site plan approval. As I noted earlier, the application is submitted and is being dealt concurrently with the rezoning, so we can get into the key aspects of the detailed design. I would take this opportunity to note that this proposal is in full conformity with the major planning documents prescribed by the Province of Ontario, the Region of Peel, and the Town of Caledon. In particular, the subject property is designated commercial area. So in terms of the provincial plan, it is it conforms to the provincial planning statement and the growth plan. It is also within the urban structure and regional structure of the regional official plan, and is within the Bolton Rural Service Center of the regional official plan, and as such conforms to the regional official plan. The proposal also conforms to the Town of Caledon official plan, and we've taken a close look at the proposed architectural merits of the proposal relative to your design guidelines, and they're found to be in full conformance with those design guidelines. And we prepared an urban design brief to support that. In support of the subject application, we have submitted a number of studies in accordance with the town's requirements, and those include lighting and building and floor plans, site plans, and full elevation details with the site plan. We've submitted a shadow study to deal with all aspects of the adjacent properties, a site lighting study, an environmental noise report, traffic impact and justification study, and of course, as I just mentioned, an urban design brief. That concludes my presentation, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Corbett. If you want, if you want to stay right there. If there are any comments from the members of the public this evening, please step forward to the podium and clearly state your name and provide comments through the microphone.
Hi. Good evening, members of council and the public. My name is Jennifer Maestri. I'm a planner with KLM Planning Partners, Inc., and we represent 12148 Albion Vaughan Road, who are the property owners to the north of the proposed development. Our clients intend to submit a proposal for their lands to develop for residential uses, and we had a pre-consultation meeting with the town in August 2006, and we're in the midst of preparing our submission for our application. So our clients are concerned with the interface and transition between their proposed residential development and the proposed public storage facility. Based on our review of the town zoning bylaw, it generally requires a 15-meter setback to industrial and commercial uses to an abutting residential zone. The application before you today proposes a 7.5-meter side yard setback to our clients' lands. In addition, the applicant is proposing an increased height from 10.5 meters to 14.5 meters. So we are generally concerned with the transition between the proposed development as it relates to the future residential uses on our clients' lands. And we've met with the applicant and their consultants to discuss our concerns and possible mitigation and screening measures to provide an appropriate interface between the commercial and the future residential dwellings on our clients' lands. And we look forward to seeing a sensitive design treatment that will provide for the appropriate transition and interface between the two land uses. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay. Any further?
Good evening, Chair DeBoer and Council members of public. Just a couple of questions for clarity, if you don't mind, please.
Did you state your name?
Oh, sorry. Sherry Baroshi, resident of Caledon. I apologize. I want to congratulate the applicant on the landscaping on 50 and on the Albion Vaughan line. It looks quite detailed. It's nice to see. Question for the applicant through you, Chair DeBoer, is how many? I noticed on the site plan that there's office space. Am I understanding that correctly?
Through you to the resident, yes, there is office space.
Can you tell me roughly how many square feet?
Sorry, no, the office space is lumped in. I would think it's around probably about 500 square feet.
And how big is the actual building square footage size?
It's 117,000 square feet total.
Is that all four floors or
that's
just
the
main floor?
That's the four floors plus the basement.
I'm sorry?
That's four floors above grade plus the basement.
And how many employees would you be looking at to employ?
Our understanding is it's typically around two or three employees.
So through you, Chair DeBoer, to, I don't know, maybe Peggy. There has been a lot of talk about meeting the target, the density target of 50 people per hectare in jobs. I'd like staff to look at this and tell me when you have 117,000 square feet and you have two to three employees, to me that's not a lot. So that will now bring our employment density target down, and you need to meet the middle ground through the residential component because it's a combined thing. And if the new growth plan changes to 80 people per hectare, this type of not condemning the applicant, but this type of employment is not what Caledon really truly needs. We need high density employment. I'm not condemning the applicant. I'm looking at it from the provincial requirements. So through you, Chair DeBoer, if staff could provide that when the report and the application comes forward, to provide that information and of how many, how that would work out, I'd be greatly appreciated. Other than that, I don't have an issue.
Okay,
thank you.
Yeah, staff will address that question in the
awesome.
Report. Thank you very much. Are there any further members of the public who wish to speak? Okay. Oh. Okay. Are there any members of the of council that have any questions of the presenter? Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you to the proponent. With respect to access, you're having access both from Albion Vaughan and Highway 50?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
So are you having a full access onto Highway 50?
Full access turns in accordance with the traffic impact study. Albion Vaughan, we're currently in discussions with Town of Vaughan because they've indicated that they want some more information on how that access will work. So we're currently going through those final steps with the Town of Vaughan.
So the region is allowing full access onto Highway 50?
Correct.
Really? Because I thought they had a bylaw.
The low traffic generation potential of the property, it means very low turning movements.
Okay. When did you submit this application?
It was submitted approximately 14 months ago.
Okay. One of the things that was raised is the increase in the height. And I think that this backs onto the new development. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So I can just tell you that over the years, the folks that were living there prior to this new development, there were a number of issues and concerns that they had. So some of the things that I have concerns with is shadowing, because
mm-hmm.
you're asking for an increase in
right.
the height, noise.
Right.
The lighting, I think you talked about the lighting, so we just got to make sure that lighting is not shining right into people's
Understood.
Windows and bedrooms and whatever else backs onto it. I know some of the concerns in the past from those folks who live there. It was with respect to diesel fumes and things like that. So how are you going to address all of that?
Through the chair and to Councillor Groves, thank you for those questions. They're actually been well responded to through a noise impact study, as well as a lighting study and a shadow study. Point of fact is that under the uses that could happen here under the prevailing official plan designation, this use probably engenders far less impact than anything else that could happen there. And that is borne out by the results of those three studies, all of which are available and will be brought forward with staff with a recommendation report.
I'm going to tell you, when those folks move into those houses, I can guarantee you that we're going to get the calls. So I'm just asking that you pay really close attention to how you address all of those things.
Yes, we will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. Thank you, Mr. Corbett, for your presentation. Just a few questions, particularly looking at the schematic, the layout of the building itself. So, you know, there was talk about the height, and I imagine that's going to be worked through with the shadowing study and getting the results of that and working with staff. So I know that I've made comments to you before that I'm not concerned at all with the use, but that it works well with the existing and future community as it builds out along Queen Street. And I know that the shadowing study will address that issue. You touched on the very minimal impacts with respect to noise and traffic and things like that. So that answered that question. If you can go to the graphic where you have the layout of the site. Yeah. So the property to the south, which is the car wash, it is part of the same property, right? There's like three buildings on the same property. Okay. So coming in from Albion Vaughan Road, or even Highway 50 for that matter, if one were to want to get to the other side of the building, they would actually be transferring over onto legally another property. So would there be easements worked in?
That's correct. The proposal would be to establish full reciprocal easements across all three parcels, so vehicular and parking could be reciprocally enjoyed by all three property owners. And we've taken the process through the site plan as full as we can to make sure we got the building envelope correct in terms of its positioning on the site. And now that we know that, we can actually set in motion a parallel application for land division and consent to establish those easements.
Okay, so that would be enshrined and protected.
Exactly.
The next question I had for you was with respect to, and I know you have the traffic study you've identified, and just looking at it and seeing other similar type of use facilities, they are very low intensive as far as traffic. But seeing as this will have five levels, at this point it's projected to be four above and one below, there's no issue with the 18 parking spaces for that square footage?
And that was borne out. We did a parking justification component with the traffic study and looked at proxy sites across the GTA as well as in Caledon and existing facilities, and the 18 spots are deemed more than adequate to serve the property. Plus, as you indicated, once the reciprocal easements are in place, if there's any overflow parking from any of the other two uses, then they'll be all short-shared and maximized efficiency from that sharing.
Yeah, I was going to mention that, and I don't know what the parking requirement is for the car wash, but I assume it, too, would be fairly low intensity.
Exactly.
And if there's capacity, then that would provide that in the case that you would need it.
That's correct.
The next question I had is with respect to the north end of the property. It's a one-lane laneway, if you will, traveling from west to east. Mm-hmm. And looking at the diagram, there's a graphic of, I don't know if it's a car, at the northwest corner.
Yeah, it's a parking space.
Just
Yep, that's a parking space.
Is it one parking space?
Yeah, one parking space, yes.
Okay, so everything else beyond that is not no parking? No,
that's correct.
Okay, because I noticed the line kind of leans over, so there'll be no parking?
That's correct.
Beyond that, okay. That was it for my questions from yourself. The only other question I had was with respect to Ms. Barioshi's question about the density for employment. And I just wanted to ask, my understanding was that the provincial policy for the 50 people and jobs per hectare was applied to greenfield development. Does that apply for an infill opportunity such as this? I don't know if staff can answer that.
Through you, Chair DeBoer, yes, that would be just for the greenfield area. That's right.
Okay. All right. That was it for myself.
Great.
Thank you
very
much.
Okay, thank you. As there are no further questions, I would declare this public meeting concluded. And this concludes the public meeting portion of this evening's agenda. If you want to leave, that's fine. If you want to stick around, we'll continue with the rest of the meeting. Okay, we will begin with delegations. And we have received a delegation request from Tim Forrester regarding proposed zoning bylaw amendment application, Canif Properties Limited, Parts Lot 1 and 2, Concession 1, EHS, Caledon, Ward 1. Is Tim present? Okay. Okay, I don't see Tim, Mr. Forrester here. We'll move on to the other matters before council. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Mr. Forrester was supposed to be here to delegate. Unfortunately, his mother-in-law was taken to the hospital, and he's unable to make it. And Councillor Shaughnessy is actually, she had to leave to meet her mother at the hospital as well. So I don't know if this is the appropriate time, but, or I guess I have to wait until you bring the report forward because I was going to ask for a referral.
Okay. Okay, so we now move to the staff reports. First staff report was, I'll need a mover and a seconder, and a staff report 2017-19 regarding Mayfield West Phase 2 Stage 2 preparation for a regional official plan amendment. Moved by Councillor Downey and seconded by Mayor Thompson. Councillor Groves, you asked for it to be held.
Yes,
oh,
thank
just a second. The capital project, the actual definition of the report is that the capital project 1192 Mayfield West Phase 2 West be increased by an upset limit of $150,000, including non-refundable HSTs for the preparation of a planning justification study and all the additional work needed to meet the requirements of a regional official plan amendment, and that the funding of $150,000 be provided by the Mayfield Station Developer Group, and that a single source be awarded to the consulting firm as listed in Table 1, Staff Report 2017-19 to validate the studies provided to the town in support of the ROPA 29 application. Now you may have the floor, Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through you, I know I supported the motion that was brought here last time to allocate the 5,100 people to this area. I did have some questions from some of my residents with respect to the particular to this report, so I need to address some of these, and hopefully staff can provide some clarification. So one of the concerns that was raised with respect to the 2031B numbers and us moving ahead with this justification report is with respect to Bolton, because I know in the region's official plan, both Bolton and Mayfield West are identified as rural service centers. So the concern that the folks in Bolton have is moving forward on this, what happens to Bolton when the region does come forward with those numbers?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Groves. So originally Mayfield and Bolton were supposed to grow kind of together. So this was still planning to be growth anyhow. This part of that development was originally shortchanged, if you remember correctly, when we talked about it The lands originally were supposed to be all the way up to Jincuzi. It was cut short because of population numbers, so we were asking it to bring it back. So ideally, to get this community complete, we have to put the population here. So that's basically what this report's doing. It's asking to look at that and then some other adjacent lands just above the greenbelt there.
Right, and I fully understand that because I did support it going up to the south of the creek. So I understand it, but I guess the question that I do have, I mean, there's been conversations about the south end of Bolton becoming more industrial and warehousing and that sort of thing, and of course I don't support that, but so that's the concern that I'm getting from the folks in Bolton is if we're dealing with the 2031, we're dealing with this 2031B population, that's numbers that's coming from the region, we're looking at the Mayfield West Rural Service Center. I'm just putting it on record, or I'm just going to ask the question, what are we doing with Bolton when those numbers do come? Are we going to be looking at Bolton as well?
Through Chair DeBoer, so again, that'll depend on when the region does decide to allocate that. They could decide to allocate 2031B numbers. They could decide to wait until 2041. We don't know. Until we have those numbers, then we'll look at it. But ideally, again, we said that Bolton should be increasing just as much as Mayfield. That was always the plan.
Right, and in our OP, it didn't give a timeline when they're supposed to. It just really says that they should be going, becoming equal in size, but there is no timeline, as I understand it, in our OP. Okay, thank you. The other question, and as you well know, there was a motion at Regional Council last time to defer the whole growth management study and the report and everything that the committee brought forward. So, does this predetermine, can we move forward with this? Because what I don't want is us to be moving forward and then the region comes back and says to us, well, you can't do this because they haven't even decided anything. Everything, as I understand from the last council meeting, everything is on hold right now. So I guess I'm just trying to understand process.
Through Chair DeBoer to Councillor Groves. So we've had some discussions with the region already on this matter, simply because we want to make sure we can proceed as well. The other discussions we had is in order to be ready when they do decide to allocate the growth, we have to have these studies completed. So the studies were done quite some time ago. We need to reconfirm them and then do the planning justification report. Then once we bring that to the region, then they have to do their ROPA. So it's going to take time. So you have to get yourself in the queue. In order to get yourself in the queue, you want to be ready.
So the region was okay with us moving forward and doing the work that we need to do,
correct,
so that when they do come out with those numbers, then they're ready to go.
So staff met with the region and with some of the members of the Mayfield group as well at the region, and they were okay for us to proceed. They want us to proceed and look at this. They're waiting for us to do our work and get ready.
Okay, good. And my final question is, I read Mr. Schnarr's letter, and I'm just trying to understand the difference. Mr. Schnarr alluded to an MCR that needed to be done, and in our report, we're asking for a justification report. Is there a difference between a justification report and an MCR?
So the MCR was already completed. The planning justification report is basically so that we can add those lands and then add the other adjacent lands that are just below the green belt. That's what the planning justification report is. And that's what's required in order to bring it forward to the ROPA.
Right. So can you tell me what the difference is between the MCR and a justification report? Is it the same thing? Because I know the region said the same thing as well, that an MCR is required.
They're two different things. The MCR was already done for the whole area. The planning justification is just because we're adding those pieces of land.
Okay. So it's really just a peer review and bring the 5,100 in.
So it's to add those lands in and then give them that information so they can bring forward the ROPA. Because the MCR was done for the whole area.
And the region is okay with that, right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, good. Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
Thank you. I think as some people in the room will realize, when this was supposed to have all been 2031 previously, but there was a shortage of land for Heritage Heights, so they pulled the numbers from here to give it to Heritage Heights. Councillor Pelleschi at that point in time, senior, at that point said, well, let's make sure that this has priority before anything else. We couldn't do that because the province said no, but it was just an understanding that we complete this community. The challenge is if we don't include this, the region's going to say to us, well, what kind of good planning is that? And as you notice with Anthem, we made them, you know, the developers take out those three lots. It's the same as what we're trying to do here in Caledon East as well. So you can have not a whole lot of driveways, but a complete well-built community. And so that's why I think it's important that we acquire those lots and make sure we just tidy it up so that it's all complete as a complete community and doesn't look like, you know, it's half done. So I think the region wouldn't be impressed if we didn't do this exercise. So I think this is why it's important that we get this done. But Councillor Groves, I know you weren't here on the last term, but that was the challenge in how we got here, and this is why we only got a half a part of a community and why we're trying to complete it first before we do any further studies. Hope that clarifies everything.
Okay. Councillor Groves.
And I understand it, and again, like I said, I supported the motion that came forward. I understand with respect to the population and the numbers and that. I mean, I've been here since Mayfield West started, and certainly this has been on the books for since 2001, I think. So I don't have an issue with that. I just want to make sure, because there's been some concerns with the public. The public has raised those concerns, and I did get flack from folks in Bolton because I supported the motion last time that came forward. So I do have a responsibility to represent my community and to bring those questions to the table, and I just so that they have clarification, because there's a lot of unanswered questions. The region is the upper tier government that ultimately approves the ROPA, because I understand that we need a new ROPA, and to do the new ROPA, you need an MCR. So I needed to bring those forward. It is my responsibility to bring these here. And Peggy, thank you. You have clarified and you've answered those questions. So I think we're all fine. I think we're all good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we are moving on to staff report 2017. Oh, all in favor? Carried. Okay, moving on to staff report 2017-25 regarding proposed zoning bylaw amendment application, Canif Properties Limited, parts lot 1 and 2, concession 1 each, EHS Caledon, Ward 1. I need a mover and a seconder. Councillor Innes, Mayor Thompson, moved by. And the bylaw attached as Schedule B to staff report 2017-25 be enacted to amend comprehensive zoning bylaw 2006-50 as amended to rezone the subject lands to permit the proposed development. Councillor Groves, you asked for it to be held, so you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand the urgency in getting this and bringing this forward, but I'm asking for a referral, and I'm going to put the motion of referral on the floor. And my reason is both representatives from Ward 1, and this is a Ward 1 issue, neither of them are here due to health reasons and health issues. So I'm putting the referral on the floor, and I'm asking that we bring it back at the next meeting, which would be March the 7th, I believe.
March 21st.
I think the councillors deserve the opportunity to speak to this. And again, neither of them are here. Councillor Shaughnessy's mother was just taken to the hospital, and I really believe that in fairness to both members of that represent that community and to their residents, I would hope and ask that council would support a referral.
Okay, so questions on the referral. Do we have a seconder? Do we have a mover? Do we have a seconder for it? Councillor Gord? Okay. Mayor Thompson, on the motion for referral.
Thank you. And I understand this has been a long time going, and I know there's a lot of stuff that's been crossed off, but I think out of respect for both councillors not here tonight, question is, there's still room for debate and have questions and delegation about this. Let's say if it's brought forward or it's pass tonight to go to council on the 7th, right? Oh. It's the 7th is our next meeting?
Yep, through Chair DeBoer to Mayor Thompson. You are correct. So if council does move forward with the recommendation as is, so not the referral, if it's referred tonight, it'll just be dealt with on the 21st. But if the motion tonight is to recommend that the recommendation be approved, the decision would be would have to be ratified at the March 7, 2017 council meeting.
But we could allow the delegations.
We could allow delegations, absolutely.
And if we need to get more information, we can refer it back at that point in time to the 21st meeting if we had to.
You have that ability, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Councillor Groves.
But I think that that sort of defeats the purpose of why I've asked for the referral, because Mr. Forrester was also supposed to delegate, and I think they would want an opportunity to make comments and with respect to what's in the report, because there are some things in the report that they have some concerns about, and I'm just asking out of respect that both members for that ward is not here, and it isn't that they don't want to be here. Councillor Beffert has a health issue, and Councillor Shaughnessy's mother has a health issue that was, unfortunately, she had to leave. If we're talking about referring it, that there is an opportunity to still have discussions on the 7th and then refer it to the 21st, I mean, I don't get that. So I'm not sure. Maybe Mr. Broll can answer we couldn't hold off through you, Mr. Chair.
Well, I think it would be for staff maybe to comment on.
I also just want to clarify, if you're referring it tonight, so if the referral goes through, it ends here. So it doesn't go to the March 7, 2017 meeting for ratification.
I understand that. But I think what the mayor is asking is that we have a discussion and we bring the report forward today, and then you get it recommended, the recommendation goes forward, and then you can bring it to the council meeting for ratification. But I'm asking that we not even discuss the report right now and just wait till the 21st till both members are here, because I understand Councillor Beffert will be back by then.
Well, yes, he could quite possibly be back. I think where the mayor's concern is that by not there is the opportunity on March the 7th to have the delegations. We can ensure that they're advised that they can be part of the delegations on the 7th. Otherwise, there is no discussion on the 7th. It goes to the 21st, then it's into April before it comes back for ratification. I think that's where the mayor's concern is.
Okay, and I hear all of that, but again, and through you, Mr. Chair, I would really like to hear from the proponents to see if they are okay with that. I understand it's sort of outside of the norm, so I'm just asking for some consideration just to hear from the applicant's representative.
Okay, I'm going to ask Peggy first to comment on from a staff perspective, and then...
Through Chair DeBoer, Councillor Groves. So, again, if you don't make a decision now, so that you refer it back to the next council meeting, it would be the end of March, then it still has to get final ratification, and that means they can't still do any work on this. There's also an appeal period for this report, so... because the bylaw has to be passed, so then there's another wait period for them. So that really means they can't do anything until April. So it's entirely up to council's discretion, but then if you push it to March 7th, have that discussion, have the questions answered then, have the delegation then it can be passed that night, the bylaw can be passed that same night. Then that 20-day period still can kick in there, and then they can still be building whatever they need to build by spring. So we're holding up the applicant, basically, but it's...
I understand that. I understand, but there are concerns from the community, and some of the concerns that the community has is on drainage. We're going to talk about the spring. You want to talk about thawing and drainage problems in that, and I know that that's been a concern with residents there, is drainage issue. There were some there was something in there with this being in EPA lands, and now those it's not there anymore. I mean, there are a number of things, and I understand that the applicant wants to get this moving and that, but both members of that ward is not here to represent their constituents. And I'm just asking for, Mr. Broll is wanting to get up, but I'm just asking for council's consideration for the constituents, the residents of that community, as well as the members who represent that ward.
And right now we do have the referral on the floor. I would have to ask for a procedural motion to waive the procedural bylaw for Mr. Broll to come speak. But right now it is a council's decision. I do have some more questions and some more speakers that want to speak. So if you will allow me to go through the list.
Yep.
And this is to the motion for referral. So Mayor Thompson.
No, I was just going to say, because this nature, and normally we, you know, it's not protocol, but I'm just saying under the circumstances tonight, I think out of fairness, the public that's sitting here, I think it'd be interesting to hear what Mr. Broll has to say about it. So I'll let everybody else speak, but I think it'd be important to hear what his comments are.
Okay. Councillor Downey.
Thank you. Through you, Chair DeBoer. I guess my question is to clerks. If the concern is that the members of council representing Ward 1 and the delegate who is also not present wouldn't have the opportunity to speak, my understanding of committee structure is that if the item, if they so wish to, they can hold the item when it comes to be ratified on the 7th and would have the same opportunities to speak and be heard at that point. Is that not correct?
Yep, through the chair to members of committee, that is correct. So if the decision tonight is to move forward with the matter as recommended in the report, the matter would go before council on March 7th for ratification, at which time members of the public who wish to delegate about the item have that opportunity, and council can then always adjust their final decision.
So they are in no way losing any opportunity by advancing the application this evening?
They aren't, but just keep in mind that if committee moves forward with this recommendation, the intent is to ratify that decision at mm-hmm. council, essentially. But you do have that opportunity to, again, adjust that decision.
I just want to make sure that then those members of the public that wish to speak, as Councillor Groves has indicated, although there was, I guess, just one delegation listed, is that correct? So that one member of the public who requested to delegate is not here. That individual has the opportunity to do so on the 7th.
Yep, okay. That particular member of the public does have that opportunity,
okay.
For sure.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure it was clear that they weren't losing that opportunity.
Okay. Councillor Innes.
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. I don't support the referral. I think that there's an opportunity, as clearly stated, to have a discussion at the council meeting. I think that we have afforded ourselves this term of council with the opportunity of having the committee structure, which does allow us to have discussion beforehand, but it also gives us an opportunity to have follow-up discussion at the council meeting or to have a second kick at the can of any situation that's brought forward to that council for ratification at that time. So it's unfortunate that both Councillor Shaughnessy and Councillor Beffert cannot be here, and I know that everybody tries their best to be present. I know, speaking for myself, I sat through a regional council meeting for 6 hours when I had a fever of 103. So we all have our circumstances to bear, but we try our best to be there. So I think that having it on the having it come back on March 7th is probably the best, and it's not delaying the process any further, because we do have, I guess, our calendar is a little bit wonky through February and March, given the fact that there's March break as well as a bunch of conferences coming up. So I don't want to delay the application any further.
Okay. No other speakers. I'm going to ask for a vote on the issue. This is on the motion for deferral. Referral. Okay. Councillor Groves. Councillor Groves wishes to ask another question. Do you have a question?
Thank you, Chair DeBoer. I just wanted to make sure that we captured everything. I know Councillor Grove spoke first, and then we had some other members of council speaking. Her request was to ask for a waiver of the procedural bylaw to allow the applicant's representative to speak, and I didn't understand that we were actually going to address that. You were going to go right to the vote on the referral, so I didn't know if the council was going to consider whether the applicant's representative was going to speak or not.
The motion for referral has to actually be dealt with prior to putting something else on procedurally. Unless we withdraw it and then we ask the...
Okay.
You can't withdraw it.
You can't. You have to defeat it. We can accept the suggestion. So we would have to defeat it if you want to, or support it. I think it's up to council to decide. At this point in time, it is council's decision as to what we want to do, in my opinion. So I will ask all in favor of deferring it to March 21st. Well, okay, you want to speak again? Councillor Groves.
Thank you. I understand procedurally that, yes, it will come on March the 7th. But as the clerk said, the intent, once it gets passed through committee and it goes to the March 7th meeting, it's for ratification. All the councillor was asking is that they have an opportunity to voice their concerns on behalf of their residents, because there are a number of issues with this property. So I certainly, if it was myself or my ward wasn't here, I would certainly hope that members of this council would give that opportunity to us. And I hear what you're saying about the 7th, but the perception is that when it comes to the council meeting on the 7th, it's really for ratification. So anyway, just going to leave it there, and it is up to council to decide.
Okay, just the clerk has presented me with it's after a motion has been read or stated by the presiding officer, it shall be deemed to be in the possession of council, but may be withdrawn by the mover and seconder at any time before being voted on. So it can be requested to remove it. Then we can ask for the, if you wish, deferral of the procedural bylaw to allow for the delegation to come speak, or we deal with this issue now and then we move on. So recess? This is the only issue we've got. Okay. I will share you the latitude to have 5 minutes, but that's it.
5 minutes.
No, 2 minutes to eight.
Questions, and I know I had issue previously with the separation of the official plan amendment and the zoning, but I recognize through the democratic process where we are today. There was two things that stuck out at me that I just wanted to ask questions on. They can be found on page 9 of 12. It basically is the section that captures the public comments and response. Item 2 is with respect to the taking of groundwater and the protection thereof. And reading the report, it seems like there may be some concern as to the capacity of the groundwater, and in staff's response, it indicates, and looking at the proposed zoning map, that the entire site is under a holding restriction until such time as the hydrogeological testing is complete. Just wanted to ask, does staff have any concern with this approach as opposed to having all of the testing first to see if they meet the test, and then if they meet the test, the zoning goes into place, as opposed to approving it pending the studies under with a holding restriction.
Mr. Brandon, would you like to answer that?
Sure. Thank you. Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Mezzapelli. This issue was obviously looked at very carefully as we move forward with the process. And essentially the reason why we're at the situation where we are with respect to the holding restrictions is that quite a lot of hydrogeology work was done over the evolution of this application. I think it started in around 2009 to present day, that looked at pump testing, monitoring, et cetera, et cetera. What has happened lately, and it was through the applicant's adjustment to the application and removed lands from the Niagara Escarpment Plan area, the wells in which they were doing the testing in were within the, basically on the other side of the line. So once they removed those lands, they had to draw a new well and do some updated testing. But given that they have all that background information on the wells basically on the other side of the line, they had enough information at hand to reasonably demonstrate that the water supply was sufficient without adverse impacts. However, there was still a need, and it was recognized by the applicant's consultant team as well as the region and Credit Valley Conservation that the same type of testing should be done for this new well in its new location to basically add those assurances. So this is why we've arrived at the conclusion that the land use in principle is appropriate by virtue of the holding, or not the holding, sorry, the zoning. However, the holding restrictions are appropriate to make sure that additional testing and reporting is done to the satisfaction of all those listed in clearance of the condition.
Okay. And with the water testing that they did from the wells that they had, I recognize that it flipped onto the other side of the line and they're going to have to do some additional testing. That captured and mimicked the full water use of the site, because it's more than just a golf course, which has irrigation uses, but also the hotel itself. So it recreated that demand from a water perspective, is that correct?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Mezzapelli, yes, that is correct. The water demand looked at both water demand for irrigation purposes and the potable water supply for the clubhouse and hotel use.
Okay. All right. The second item was item six with respect to MDS and basically adjacent agricultural uses and properties. The very last sentence, because as I understand it, and I think you touched on it, is that buffers have been created, and it states that these buffer areas will provide separation from these facilities and will afford a level of protection to those facilities, and I guess that's on the agricultural side, should they wish to expand in the future. Are staff satisfied that this gives full protection to those adjacent agricultural properties to realize their full potential as far as their agricultural development opportunities?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Mezzapelli. As part of the application submission, the applicant had to prepare minimum distance separation calculations. That, of course, is needed to address land use conflicts related to odor from surrounding livestock facilities. That did, in fact, determine that some of those separation areas intruded within the subject lands. The official plan amendment, the approval of that amendment, actually implemented those separation areas by virtue of putting some limitations on the uses within those arc areas, if you will. And that's how the official plan served to implement those restrictions. With respect to the zoning bylaw, because of the time that had passed, we asked the applicants to prepare updated minimum distance separation calculations just to sort of do a recheck on the existing circumstances and also, too, to look at will this proposed facility impact the possible potential for those surrounding livestock facilities to expand, because once you have a use like this in there, on these lands, that could perhaps provide some, interference with such expansion endeavors. So the applicants did that, and we reviewed that and determined that basically the official plan policies that are in effect are adequately implementing the MDS requirements, and the zoning bylaw will consistently implement those as well. So long story short, staff are satisfied with the submissions made.
Okay, so just on your last point about potential agricultural expansion, I just wanted to ask that question so I understand it clearly. The minimum distance separations that are in place, do they permit expansion of agricultural properties that abut the property, or could there be a scenario where this development goes forward, and if at such time an abutting property owner wished to expand an agricultural use, that they might actually be bound by the MDS?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Mezzapelli. I believe the question, the separation of the golf course basically more internally within the site affords it an equal level of separation to the facilities. So that separation of itself provides for an opportunity to allow for that facility to expand. If it was built right to the property line, then the separation distance that that facility adjacent to would have to maintain would almost be pushed further outward from the property line rather than from the restrictive arcs internally. I hope that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mayor Thompson.
Thank you. Can I, is it okay if I ask Mr. Broll a question? Because one thing I think we need to get a bit of an understanding, there was a referral that was turned down, but I think out of sheer respect, I would like to ask Mr. Broll if he's prepared to talk to Councillor Shaughnessy in the concerns prior, because to at least have a fulsome discussion prior to the council meeting coming up. And are you prepared to do that?
Yeah, if I can through you, Mr. Chair.
I have to ask for a motion to adopt or change the procedure bylaw and allow for delegation to come forward. It's the mayor, if it's quick.
Thank you.
Can I have a mover and a seconder?
Give me a seconder. Thank you.
Joanna, Mayor, move by all in favor? All opposed? Okay, I'll vote in favor and we'll let it happen. Carried. Glenn, if you want to come forward.
I do, and thank you very much. Just on the outset, both Ward 1 councillors aren't here, and on behalf of Caniff Properties, we're happy not to have the absolute decision made here with all delegations. Moving the report forward to council seems only appropriate in anywhere that we work. It's of our best interest to have the local councillor involved. So to answer the mayor's question, I will reach out to Councillor Shaughnessy first thing tomorrow morning, find out who her mom is. That's of utmost importance. And we'll take the opportunity to meet with her, answer her questions. I see there are residents here now. We'll try and understand what their questions and concerns are and see whether we can have our planning committee forum out in the hall so that when we come forward to council on the 7th, we'll have maybe a refined meeting.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brolin. I think at the end of the day, we got to be very respectful of the two Ward 1 councillors.
For sure.
And if you're willing to make this, I think this is how we can make it all work for everybody. And, you know, the worst scenario is, you know, if we can't be totally satisfied with everything, you know, that comes out on the 7th, then we do have, we can refer it back to work at it again. But let's see if we can make it work for the 7th. But if you're willing to work with the residents here, especially with the two gentlemen at the back, I would really appreciate it. But also reaching out to Councillor Shaughnessy, I thank you for that. And so, therefore, I'm prepared to support to go forward.
Thank you, and through you, Chair DeBoer. Our expectation was that the matter would be considered tonight and come back before council next week anyway, so we can stand
two
down
weeks.
Here. 2 weeks, and we'll do what needs to be done before it comes back.
I just want to be really respectful of the Ward 1 councillors.
Yes. Thank you. Ms. Tollett wishes to speak for a second.
Sorry, just through you, Chair DeBoer. I would just ask that if staff can attend those meetings so they just can know what the issues are, as they're the ones that would have to answer the questions on the report when it comes back.
Yes. Okay. Thanks. Yes, sir.
In as much as you've allowed Mr. Broll to speak at this meeting, should I speak to this a little bit. I'd like to know.
Well,
I mean, it is irregular that you were so curious to hear why Mr. Brohl wanted to move it forward today.
Okay, I will entertain. We have a mover. Just a second. I will have a mover. Gentlemen, can I have your name?
Pete Livingston.
Okay, Pete Livingston. Can I have a motion to waive the procedure bylaw to allow Mr. Livingston to speak? Movers, Councillor Groves, seconded by Mayor Thompson. Mr. Livingston, please step forward.
Yeah.
Oh, all in favor? All opposed? Okay, it's carried. Mr. Livingston, you wish to make some comments.
Okay, and I'll keep it brief because my comments will be a delegation on the 7th. But I find it, I received this staff report. It's almost like an afterthought on Friday, probably the same time you did.
Yep.
I've gone through it as best I can, and I've picked up a number of things. Comments, for instance, from MTO about netting that's got to go in, which would impact the visual impact study that would be performed by, I mean, it was performed in 2011 or 2000.
Yep.
I mean, the early report had a visual impact from all directions. Now MTO is saying, hey, you're going to have golf courses that are golf holes there. We want netting. How big is that netting? What's it going to do to my $1 million view? And I mean, I just picked that up in comments. What's it going to do to the bird population? The concerns of the Credit Valley Conservation Association about migratory and endangered species. When you put up a net, I was by a golf course or a driving range adjacent to Highway 6 the other day and took pictures. Those poles that hold the netting are twice as high as a normal telephone pole. So I haven't been through there this yet. I saw something about the zoning map. With respect to the Oak Ridges Moraine, doesn't appear to be the EPA 2 area, doesn't seem to be the same as the EPA 2 area in OPA 234. I mean, you were concerned about them separating the zoning bylaw and OPA 234. Well, I'll tell you what's in this now is different than what was in OPA 234. I don't understand. I've got to go through this with a fine-tooth comb. And I don't think any of you could possibly digest what's in here in the period of time between Friday when you apparently got it. So I haven't been able to digest it. And I'm more familiar with this, believe me, than any of you. So,
yeah. Thank you, Peter. One thing is that we've changed the process, so this does show up twice. In the past, it would have only showed up once to council.
I beg your pardon?
In the past, this shows up twice now. In the past, it would have only showed up once to council. Now it does show up twice because it comes to committee, then it goes to council.
No, I understand.
So it is a better system. My suggestion, if you've got questions, get staff right in front of you here. They'll be more than willing to answer the questions for you tomorrow. If you get your names and get their cards, they'll be more than willing to help you with understanding.
I have to review this.
Yeah.
I came because it was going to staff today.
Yeah.
And I didn't plan on making a delegation with respect to it.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Okay. Thank you.
Staff are right there. Do speak to them at the end of the evening. Okay, Councillor Thompson, you done? Or Mayor Thompson, you done? Thanks. Councillor Groves.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will reiterate to the proponent the groundwater issue with respect to the wells. that we pay really close attention to that. And the question that I have, and Mr. Livingston touched on it, is what happened to those EPA lands? Because now the map doesn't show those EPA lands anymore, and so what happened? It's not showing on this map. The EPA is now outside. Before they were inside.
No, we moved the course back. We pulled that out of the
this map I'm looking
can
at.
Do you have the map there that we could put it on the overhead so that we all know what we're speaking about? What the question's about? Is that possible?
Up in here and they pulled back.
Right, but how did that happen?
Because they were forced to.
So can you clarify your question, please, Councillor Groves? Are you asking about the EPA 2 line?
Yes.
And that it
is. So it was inside before, now it's outside. So I guess I missed something in between there.
See, it was up where the red line was.
So my question is, how did that happen? And I don't know. I have no idea, and I'm just trying to get some clarification.
Mr. Ward?
Through you, Chair DeBoer, to Councillor Grove. So the map before you shows the current zoning for the subject lands.
Right.
The subject lands are highlighted, and the dashed line down the middle is the division between the Oak Ridges Marine Plan, and then the lands outside of it are largely zoned A1. The EPA 2-ORM zone areas in the Oak Ridges Marine Plan area are reflective of a what the ORM plan defines as intermittent streams. Now, this is the zoning bylaws attempt to implement the policies of the Oak Ridges Marine Plan. So the lands are designated countryside area. Within countryside areas, the ORM plan talks about key natural heritage features as well as hydrologically sensitive features. Hydrologically sensitive features are features such as wetlands, groundwater-fed lakes, as well as permanent and intermittent streams. So those zone areas before you are deemed to be reflective of intermittent streams as well as associated buffer areas. So when the applicant prepared an environmental impact study, they looked at the lands and determined that those intermittent streams actually don't exist physically. They defined the environmental areas on the site, which are reflected in the approved official plan amendment and are now reflected as well in the implementing zoning bylaw that's before the committee tonight. The applicant's environmental impact study demonstrated that those features basically aren't there. So the policies that speak to those features don't apply because the features don't exist. Credit Valley Conservation reviewed that environmental impact study and concurred with the recommendations and have no issues with the zoning bylaw that's before you that basically is proposing to rezone those lands from the current EPA 2 ORM zone areas to remove them and rezone the lands in a manner consistent with the approved official plan amendment.
Okay. That surprises me that they would allow that in the ORM and that those EPA lands were taken out physically. If I'm looking at the red line, the dotted line, it's there, and then you look at the new map which is the orange, and they're outside, and I guess I'm just surprised that's all that it's allowed. And I know there are a number of concerns with drainage, so I'm putting that there, that the proponent would address those concerns with the residents with respect to the drainage issue. Thank you, Brandon.
Okay. I have no further questions. So we will call the vote. Do I need to read the motion again? Is everybody okay with it? So it's moved by Councillor Innes, seconded by Councillor Thompson. And all in favor? Mayor Thompson. All in favor? All opposed? Carries. So we'll go to the March 7th meeting. We'll have the clerk advise Mr. Forrester that, he will have an opportunity to speak at that one. And the other items are all approved on consent. So this concludes the Planning and Development Committee meeting. Thank you very much.